God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to say before we get into the study material for tonight, thank you so much. Great reports of people that kind of stepped up and were used here in the absence of my family. And thank you so much for your participation, for being here in service and supporting even while we were gone. And we thank you so much for that. That is, I sent a message to Brother Tom earlier in the week and just said, you know, I have a peace when I go away that everything is going to be just fine, and I don't worry. Maybe I should worry a little bit, but I don't. I'm on vacation. I ain't worried about it, you know. So, but thank you, and it's only because I know that there's great people like yourselves that are here and keep things happening. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. I would say this in regards. I know we're quickly approaching a pretty big event for us in the what we call the Freedom Family Friends event. I forgot what I specifically titled it, but it's on the calendar if you have a question. And that's happening on July the 3rd, which is 2 weeks from this Sunday. And so 2 weeks or a week from this Sunday? 1 week. See, it's even quicker than I thought. 2 weeks from last Sunday, that's what I meant. See, you caught me. But I hope by Sunday to have kind of a sign-up sheet. What I would like to have happen is that we have kind of duties and responsibilities. Now, I do understand this. The next day is July 4th, so many of us will not have to work on that day. So not only can we stay a little later, enjoy the fireworks, have a good time, but we can all help and pitch in and clean up and make sure everything gets taken down that needs to be taken down. And so we I just remembered I got to call and get a tent. Hopefully I can, or no. But another thing we want you to do is we want to encourage you to bring your lawn chairs, and a couple reasons for this, because many times we take those chairs and go to the berm at the edge of the property and watch the fireworks. Also, the more chairs that you bring and take back, the less chairs we have to bring from the church, and that just becomes another responsibility that somebody has to do. We don't mind doing that. We will bring some chairs, but I think last time we loaded like all 90-something chairs there and back. So that was kind of an event after the event. So we do want to encourage you. Obviously, this is open to any and all. We encourage you to bring family and friends. There are people that will kind of walk in the festivities off the street, and that's fine. It's just a good time where we come together. Again, the only admission, if you will, is just simply a dessert or a side dish, and we always have plenty of food. Nobody leaves hungry unless they're maybe a vegetarian. That's a joke. Anyhow, but we do want you to come and bring family, friends, and just have a good time for that event. Getting into the study for tonight, we're continuing in our curriculum we entitled Plainly Speaking. This is the 10th question, but I think it's the 12th week because a few of the questions we took more than 1 week. I thought about that. I was like, man, I can't believe that we've actually been in this series of lessons for 12 weeks now, which is fine. It's been, for me, it's been a unique series, if you will, because you really don't know. I don't know when I go to that box and pull out a question what I'm going to encounter in the form of a question. And so sometimes they're amusing questions, and sometimes I'm like, man, how am I going to teach on that for a whole 40 minutes? But tonight is a good question. We taught it plainly speaking, answering questions with scriptures. And tonight's question 10, whoa, man, I'm really trying to get through tonight. Let me try to go back. There we are. This one was submitted by Sister Sue Ann. She wrote her name on it, so I figured that she wouldn't mind me telling you that it came from her. Obviously, it has a little box. You can submit anonymously, or you can write your name. And she chose to write her name, so I figured she would be okay with me telling the question came from her. And the question is, how often are we to take communion? Scripture reference for the taking of communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 7. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So when we talk about communion, obviously there are other terms or other phrases we may use in reference to communion. Some may say the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. Tonight, and I don't know that through Scripture we can get a precise answer, okay? Let me just Let me just make that disclaimer. Let me throw that out there. Because the Bible doesn't give us an exact prescription as to how often we are to recognize or take communion or participate in what would be called the Lord's Supper. But there are some scriptural references that I want us to look at. So tonight's going to be a lot of looking at the scripture to determine just kind of what we should do in reference to communion. And I don't know how many of you have been a part of, at one time, and don't raise your hand, but there are some denominations that communion or the partaking of the Lord's Supper is a every service thing, that they do it every service. Obviously, growing up in a Pentecostal church, it was something that we did usually once a year, maybe twice a year. And there are a lot of churches that that do specifically on Easter and Christmas, they recognize and take communion. But more than focusing upon the frequency or how often we are to do it, maybe focusing upon what communion really is and what it's about will maybe help us answer that question. And whether we do it in the form of putting the little cups with the fruit of the vine in it and the little crackers, or whether we understand that communion is more than just about a little cup and a little wafer, okay? So that's what I want to look at tonight. So let's look at some passages of Scripture. Let's look at Luke 22, where we have the Lord's Supper, and it's in Scripture. And for some reason, this thing does not want to work. There we go. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, "With desire have I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." Now, pay attention to that. Jesus says, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." So he gives them the entire portion, if you will, fruit of the vine. And he says, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." Now, all honesty, as a kid, when it was time to take communion, maybe you've never done this, but I've done this. Some of y'all know where I'm going. Ever crept up to the, tried to find the biggest wafer or the biggest piece in the bunch? Or you ever scoped out which cup had the most juice in it? I have. More than once. You know, you try to do it nonchalantly where it's not obvious that that's what you're doing, but not too many people just go up there and just partake whatever. I mean, you might look and see if you're getting the bigger portion. Now, just keep that in the back of your mind because I want to address that a little bit later. He said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So let's look at some observations about this, what we commonly call the Lord's Supper, or Jesus eating Passover with the disciples. But first of all, let's consider this. Jesus was a Jew. As a Jew, he would have participated in Passover every year. It was mandatory for a Jewish male to participate and be a part. So an observing Jew would have participated in the Passover meal. So this is not the only time that Jesus eats Passover with his disciples. It is quite probable that every Passover, when the 3.5 years that he had the disciples with him, that they ate Passover together. But this particular time is important, if you will, and I believe the scripture brings it out because this is the time right before Jesus experiences what we commonly call the Passion of the Christ. This is right before the crucifixion. And so Jesus is making some statements in reference to the bread and the wine. So we need to understand, Passover was an annual event. He's observing Passover. It's an annual event. It's celebrated every year, and it's commemorating the Exodus from Egypt, wherein the Passover lamb was eaten, and the blood of that lamb was they wiped it. They took hyssop, they dipped it in the blood, and they wiped it on the lintel on the doorpost. If you read the book of Exodus, you will find that this was done Remember, the final plague, the 10th and final plague, was that the angel of death was to come over and take the firstborn. And if they had done what Moses had told them to do, and they had taken that lamb of the first year, and they had, if the family was too small, they got together with another family, and they took that, and there was a prescribed manner. They were to roast it over fire. They weren't sodden it with water. And they were to take the entrails out, and they were to leave none of it until morning. They were to burn it all into the fire. And they were to take that blood, and they were to strike it on the lintel and doorpost of the house. And when the angel of death came through, he would pass over that house because of the blood. And so they're observing this event called Passover. They're eating the Lord's Supper, if you will. They're eating the Passover meal. And they are commemorating or celebrating the exodus from Egypt. That's what is happening. That is what they are doing. That's what's going on throughout all of Jerusalem at that time. People are everywhere in houses. They are celebrating Passover. Jesus is then fulfilling. He's fulfilling this new covenant as the Lamb of God. And he's identifying his body as the bread and his blood as the wine. And this is where, as the disciples, you got to think they kind of looked at one another like, okay, where's he going? Jesus was not one that would shy away from figurative speech. Many times he referenced himself, I am the bread of life, I am the door, I am the gate, I am the way. Jesus was numerous times in his teaching using figurative speech. So the disciples understood what Jesus was saying. They, to some extent, I believe they grasped it. Now, Jesus is comparing himself with the Passover lamb. Jesus is saying there's a new covenant in his blood. That there's something special about what's going to take place. He's eating this Passover with us. He's already, with great desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And so the disciples, attentive to his words, understanding that Jesus is now comparing himself or identifying his body as the bread and his blood as the wine. Now, certain denominations believe in transubstantiation. Anybody know what that word means? Sister Christy, what's transubstantiation? You're exactly right. In certain denominations, this belief, if you will, of transubstantiation, they believe that when they pray over the wafer and they pray over the wine, that those things literally take on the substance of Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. Now, for the record, we do not believe that. We do not believe that that wafer becomes the body of Jesus. We believe that Jesus was speaking in a figurative sense for many reasons. For one, if Jesus was speaking in a literal sense, he would have been breaking Levitical law. Point number one. So Jesus is not going to break Levitical law in what he is prescribing for the disciples to do. Furthermore, this is done before the death of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's not done after the crucifixion. This is done before the crucifixion. But some denominations, and they believe that every time they participate in communion, they partake of the Eucharist, they pray over the wafer, and they pray over the blood, that they are actually partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So much so that unfortunately it's come to a place where many of them worship the elements. Catch it. They worship the elements instead of worshiping the one the elements represent. Now, enough said along those lines, but there's a reason why some denominations, every time they have a service, they partake of communion. Now, so that begs the question, then, how much is too much and how little is too little? Where's the happy medium, if you will? Where's the sweet spot that we should be in the sense of partaking of communion and participating in what we commonly call the Lord's Supper? Well, let's look at some more passages of Scripture. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, because 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a church as they are participating in and they are partaking of the Lord's Supper, because he specifically identifies it as the Lord's Supper. I'll show you. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 22. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not. He's scolding them, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. You come together, you as a church, he's writing to the church at Corinth, you're coming together, but it's not for the better, it's for the worse. And here's why it's for the worst. For first of all, when you come together in church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He's saying, you're not, what you're coming and doing is not participating in the Lord's Supper. It's not in communion. It's not in celebration of the sacrifice that was paid for your deliverance from sin. It is not in observance of the body and blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. It is not observant in sacrifice. When you come together, it's not for the better, it's for the worse, because you've lost the meaning. You've replaced what should be sacred and holy and what should be representative of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and you've made it something unto yourself. Look at what he says. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink, to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Well, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, you come together, and it's like a potluck. You come together and you're going over the pot to see if you get the best piece of meat. You're coming together and there's no observance of the Lord. There's no observance of sacrifice. What you've done is you've replaced sacrifice with selfishness. Some come, and because others are so gluttonous and they eat and they eat all the food and they drink all the wine, there's some that are leaving drunk and there's others that didn't get any. How are you representing the Lord's death? How are you showing? This is not the Lord's Supper. You're not participating in Passover in the sense of recognizing the sacrifice. Paul is scolding the church at Corinth for their abuse of the Lord's Supper. Communion has become as common as a regular meal. Catch it. He said, what? Don't you have houses to go eat in? If you're hungry, go. It's just not about coming to get together and filling your belly. It's not coming and get the choicest piece of meat. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against potluck. I love when we have potluck dinners. That's great. But potluck dinner and communion are two very separate and distinct things. Kind of. Yeah. I'm just going to dangle that out there for a minute. Kind of. But in some ways, they're similar. Because the attitude with which I partake of both is really what matters. Catch it. I'm going to show this. I only got like 5 minutes, so I'm going to have to work fast. But I'm going to show you, it's all about the attitude with which I partake. Because whether it be a regular meal, whether it be a common cheeseburger and fries, or whether it be where I'm partaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, it's the attitude with which I do it that makes it communion or not. Selfishness has replaced sacrifice, and Passover has become potluck, and therefore none of what is going on shows the Lord's death. Let's hurry on. For I have received the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave. One of you will betray me. You that dip your hand in the sop with me, one of you is going to betray me. But you need to know the attitude. Even though you're going to betray me, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. Even though you're going to give me a kiss of betrayal, I'm still going to rise from supper and gird myself with a towel and wash your feet. See, the attitude is about, I'm still going to have communion with you, Judas, even though you're going to betray me. Even though I know Satan has entered into your heart, and even though I already know the money's in the bag, guess what? I'm not going to refuse to give you. I'm going to give you just like I give the other 11 who haven't betrayed me. See, communion is about attitude. Communion is about the understanding that even though that same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and gave. For as often, gives us no exact prescription for the frequency of observance. However, often would indicate more than once in a while, more than even twice a year. For as often as you do this. Now, remember I said potluck and communion. While they are distinct and different, there are some similarities. Maybe the next passage will shed some light on what communion really is about. Look at this. Here's the following scriptures. Corinthians 11, 28 through, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not recognizing the sacrifice of God. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Don't be concerned with what you get. Be concerned with giving to your brother. Tarry one for another. It's not about selfishness, fellas. It's about sacrifice. It's about foregoing your own for the benefit of someone else. Greater love hath no man than he would lay down his life for a friend. When you do that, you're not discerning the Lord's body unless you do it in an act of selflessness. Catch it. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come together not into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So here's the thing. How often? How often should we do communion? Now understand, when I say communion, I'm not just referencing drinking of the little bottle, the little glass, the fruit of the vine, or taking the little wafer. That's not what I'm talking about in the sense of just communion, because if we think that's the only time we should participate in communion, we have sadly misunderstood the scripture. How do I know? Well, let me ask you this question. How often are we to take communion? Well, how often should we examine ourselves? That's a prescription. Let a man examine himself. I think in reality, communion, every time we sit down before food, a blessing, drink, maybe we should do it in recognition of the sacrifice that God has given for us. How often should we examine ourselves? How often should we eat and drink with the understanding of the sacrifice of God for our salvation? Should we do it in the sense of the little bottle or the little glass? And yes, we should. And yes, we probably need to do that more around here, just for the sake of understanding that that's something that is sacred. But communion, really understanding communion, is understanding that it's a continual thing. It's not a once in a while thing. It's an often thing. It's a frequent thing that we do. While we understand communion with regard to what Jesus did for us, maybe communion has just as much to do with what we are doing for him. Let a man examine himself, because let us now be judged and chastened of the Lord, so that we're not judged. Look at this. Look at the last scripture reference. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So how often should we partake of communion? Well, how often should we examine ourselves? How often should we recognize and exemplify the Lord's death until he comes? How often should we be an example and a representation of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Because, Quite frankly, according to Scripture, if I'm just going throughout my day and doing my daily duties, but I'm not doing in recognition of what Jesus Christ has done for me, then I am partaking of the blessings unworthily. In closing, you can stand. Brother Ryan. There's a tornado on the ground. Let's pray right now. Dear Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, that we can come to you right now. Anybody in the path of this tornado, God, we pray that they would be safe. God, watch over us, keep us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to lift you up and magnify your name that is above every name. Lord, I pray your hand of protection upon the people as they depart from this place, God. Let us go with your protection around about us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.